friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, who never lets us go. Amen. I want to tell you about a young friend I have named Jack, not his real name. I've known Jack for several years, and he was a really good kid. As his pastor, I watched him complete preschool, play and learn at Vacation Bible School and Sunday School, and heard all about his adventures as he started elementary school. Jack was an artist, and he spent most of Sunday morning worship time drawing, and he was quite good. I got to be the recipient of many of those worship time drawings. He also had several stuffed animal buddies who took turns accompanying him to worship. Those stuffed animals were very polite. They always shook my hand after worship. Jack lived close to church, walking distance close, even for a little kid. As Jack grew up, the things that were hard when he was little got a little easier. Making friends, riding a bike, talking to adults, playing ball. But as he grew up, some things got a little harder. There were piano lessons, and there was spelling tests, and there were scout badges. There were more responsibilities at home, too, as he grew, setting the table, picking up his room, packing his lunch. He was living somewhere in between little kid and big kid. One day, after a very stressful day of second grade, Jack had had it. All he wanted to do was to play with his stuffed animals, play a video game, and relax. But there were second grade demands on his afternoon, and his parents were not backing down. No, you can't play video games until you've practiced piano. No, you can't hide out in your room drawing until your homework is done. Well, on this spring day, I remember it was a Wednesday in Lent, Jack made a bold decision. He was going to run away. He packed his suitcase with all the essentials. He had a jacket, a stuffed animal, a drawing pad and pencils, a cookie, and a banana. When Mom wasn't looking, he snuck his suitcase out the side door, and he set off into the grand world where the responsibilities of second grade would not burden him anymore. At about the same time, I was driving to church for our evening's Lenten soup supper and worship. And as I was driving, I passed him on my way. It's hard to miss a young boy struggling with a huge suitcase headed down the street. And I knew this kid. I knew him well enough to know that geographically, he was somewhere between home and church. And emotionally, he looked like he was somewhere between sad and desperate. So I parked my car in the lot and I walked back up the street to meet my young friend and see what was going on. We sat under a tree and we shared the cookie. He had already eaten the banana. And his sad story tumbled out. The chores, the piano practice, the lack of free time. Wednesdays were hard. Second grade was hard. Having to do stuff at home was hard. Whew, I know. We have all been there. After the cookie was gone and we got tired of sitting on the sidewalk, he agreed to come with me to church and hang out in my office while I contacted Mom. He knew that I had lots of colored pencils in my office and a comfy couch where he could rest after his long two-block journey. One text later to his mom confirmed what I suspected. "Yep, I've had my eye on him the whole time," she said. "I heard him pack that suitcase. I saw him go out that door. I saw you meet Jack on the sidewalk. I saw you head to church, and I knew that he was safe. Let's just give him a little cooling off time, and we'll meet him up there for supper." Even though Jack didn't do what he was supposed to do that day, the good news for him was that he was never far from the watchful eye of his mom. And whether he was physically somewhere between home and church, or emotionally somewhere between sad and desperate, he was never far from the love of his mom either. Now, Jonah might just be the poster child of runaways. He was a faithful man. He confessed God as Lord of heaven and who made the sea and the dry land. Later in this book, we hear Jonah name God as gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Jonah knows God's character and, in fact, is well acquainted with God's work of forgiveness and grace, because the people of Israel were continually in need of that forgiveness and grace that they received from God, which makes Jonah's response that much more ironic. "Go," says God, "go to Nineveh and cry out against their sin." Nineveh, you need to know, is the home of the Assyrians, who were the hated, brutal enemies responsible for the destruction of the northern kingdom. "Go to your enemies," God says, "and I will work through them the same ways I have worked through you." "No, thank you," thought Jonah. The thought of God's mercy being extended to his enemies was just too much for Jonah. He didn't want anything to do with those people, even if it meant fleeing from God. His hatred and his dread and his downright stubbornness was bigger than his ability to imagine that God's grace could be extended to his enemies. Wanting to be free of all the burdens that come with faithfulness, Jonah ran without saying a word to God. But Jonah, physically between home and Tarshish, and emotionally between faithful and rebellious, was never far from the love of God. This book, this little theological short story, reminds us of who we are. We all live in the in-betweens of faithful or rebellious, anger and joy, fear, content, frustrated, loving, stubborn, and gracious. I know I do. How about you? God meets us wherever we are, whether we are faithful or frightened, and everywhere on the road in between. And this theological little short story reminds us of who God is. God, right from the very first chapter, seeks out Jonah to be the one who compels others towards repentance and new life. All those ways that God has worked in Jonah's life and the life of his people, it's free and open to everyone, even the people Jonah does not like. God doesn't have the same categories of good and bad that we do, because in God's sight, we are all beloved. No one is left out, which means we aren't left out. And neither are those that we would prefer might not be at the table. But God doesn't give up on Jonah. And God doesn't give up on second graders when they are overwhelmed by growing up. God doesn't give up on us when we run, or when we hide, or when we just don't know what to do next. Because this book reminds us that God doesn't give up. So as we travel through this book this month, I want you to pay attention. Pay attention how God doesn't give up on Jonah, even to Jonah's dismay. God fulfills God's purpose even through his uncooperativeness. Pay attention to how God doesn't give up on the people of Nineveh, also to Jonah's dismay. Pay attention to how God goes about the work of mercy in such a single-minded manner that even fish are employed to further God's grace. Pay attention to who it is in your own life that you would rather run away from than share God's grace with, or how God wants to use you that makes you think, surely God can come up with a better candidate than me. Pay attention to where you are located this week, physically, emotionally, and how God is present in all those places and everywhere in between. Pay attention to when you want to run and when you realize that you were never out of sight of the loving and watchful eye of God. And pay attention so you know that no matter how far you run, you are never far from the love of God that is bigger and more inclusive than we can ever imagine. Amen. And thanks be to God.